Today's message is on occupation, not a job, but territorially taking over. If you turn to Luke 19, this subtitle is Spiritual Warfare and Prayer. The reality of this warfare has visited this house, not just my house, but the house of streams. And we are going through it, and we will appropriate the victory. And as Gary said, today was not a good morning for me, but it is getting better. Start in verse 11. Luke 19, verse 11, we will read to verse 13. And now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would soon appear. And he said to them, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Do business till I come. One is to understand what he means by do business. The other is to be actively engaged in business. Dominion theology contains a bit of every disciple of Jesus Christ who lays the claim to his name has the power and authority to do his business. And to properly understand his business, the word business means, it's a militaristic word, it means to occupy. What is the Lord's business? Who can tell me what the Lord's business is? Winning souls? Destroying the works of the devil? Expanding his kingdom? You guys are absolutely right. But the most important thing about doing his business is protecting his kingdom. Protecting his kingdom. How do you protect his kingdom in you? How do you occupy his kingdom in you? How do you take and expand his kingdom in you and through you? All determines what your biblical worldview is and your understanding as to what he expects of you. Fighting a good fight of faith is more than just words on a paper. For us who have been testifying of what God is doing and having to go through the trials and tribulations, I don't know how much more I can take. I don't know. And through this parable, Jesus tells us that he has called his servants. Who is his servants? Be careful. If you call yourself a servant, then you understand you have a responsibility to the master. This is why it's important that you understand that we just not frivolously throw around, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that, and live a life contrary to what the master expects of us. You see, when he called the 10, what is 10 prophetically? What does that mean? 10 in the prophetic sense is the times of trial, testing, and accountability. He called 10 servants, and he provided them with 6 months of wages to do his business. And I don't mean this to be a heavy thing, but I want you to understand that to do his business, when you're about doing your business first, does not fulfill his kingdom. We must understand that to do his business isn't just laying the name of Jesus Christ and bellyaching about why our lives aren't changing. Bellyaching why this is going on or that's going on. We are in a warfare. And if things are not happening the way you want things to happen, maybe you need to sit down with the Father and find out what you're doing contrary to his will. Because principles mean things, and I try to encourage you guys to put these principles into your life and activate these principles, because where we're going, you should have already had these things in your life. Matthew 18:11 says that for the Son of Man has come to save which that was lost. That's part of his business. And he has given that to you. It is your responsibility and my responsibility to go not only to seek those who are lost, but to save them, lead them to the well, to drink from Jesus Christ. And I've been trying to educate you guys, to make you mindful of these things that are happening, because if you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts, why would they want to become like Christ? I think last Sunday night's incident that happened is a great teaching element for all of us. And as I spoke to the men yesterday morning about two particular areas of importance, we did not protect the kingdom, of which I ask you to forgive me for not doing a better job. But two of those areas that we really messed up on was, one, line of sight. Line of sight means that we see what is going on, but we don't have to directly be active in that. And what we lost last Sunday was a sign of light, or a sign of light, sight. By that, I mean our kids were obscure, and they were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. We failed in that. The other area is blowing off leadership, which means you blow off my leadership, which means you blow off his leadership, which is his business. And I explained to the men yesterday that seeking first the kingdom, we would be doing these things. But it seems like people want to get stuck on the little things and not look at the big thing. If we're about the kingdom, we're about parenting our kids. If we're about the kingdom, we're about submitted to authority. If we're about the kingdom, we're about sacrifice and loving. And obviously, we did not do a good job Sunday. Thereby, a person who needs salvation, we did not exhibit love, did we? We need to be about Father's business, and we really need to look about what we are doing. All the words that were spoken today were right on, because I didn't have the words to address today. But God wanted this address to make us aware that He's not angry with us. He has given us opportunity to first repent, of which I'm doing, and second of all, to realign ourselves with what He wants done. We are very close, church, to having a beachhead established. And yet, the forces of evil are so strong that, like I said, I don't know how much more I can withstand. And if He smites the shepherd, what happens to the flock? John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." How are we distributing life? How are we distributing love? How are we imparting this into people who really need it? Are the affections of the world what we really need? Or is it the affection of the Father what we really need and we really need to put forward? This is all part of occupying. If He does not occupy your heart, then you are not occupying the kingdom. And these scriptures are spoken to believers. And I understand about the wheat and the tares, and I understand that there are going to be make believers in our midst, but Streams is not going to be a typical babyfied church. Streams is going to be a teaching, maturing church to have His people understand and flow in their responsibility to Jesus Christ and be grown up about it. Having line of sight of our kids. Being submitted to authority. Of which the world does not do. God has put into us three basic principles in which I have tirelessly tried to implement into my own life and encourage you guys to put into your life. One, and the biggest one, is seek first the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. First principle. If we're about seeking His kingdom and His will, we would be busy about doing it, not just seeking to find out how we can just walk along the edge and still play with sin. Two, become a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. Am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to lay my life down for another? As Christ, who loves us, laid His life down for us. Because in laying down our life, we impart His life to others. Three, renew our minds. Romans 12:2. How much time do you spend in His Word to have His mind, to get rid of all the pollution, get rid of all the corruption, get rid of all the attitudes that are not becoming of Jesus Christ? Only then, hear me, only then are you at the beginning stage to understand how important it is for you to flow in your giftings and callings. Because only then are you holy as He's holy by the washing of His Word. In implementing these three principles, we then can go in and accomplish the two laws that Christ has given to us. What are they? Absolutely. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's easy to say we love God. It is not easy to love each other. And that's part of my undoing today. I can't say I love God and be angry at His people. I can't. See, that was the fallacy of Moses. He could love God and still be angry. And it cost him dearly. I do not presume any position. I am humbled by God. And I take seriously my position to lead this flock in righteousness and in holiness. And if that is not my reality, to shine that forth for you, to be a living example to you, then I have no business being here to share His word with you. He has given us His love to rule and reign. He has made us a royal priesthood to manifest His kingdom upon this earth. Only true sons and daughters of the Most High God are going to do this. You determine if you are truly a son and a daughter. Not only was He speaking this morning about an individual, He was asking each and every one of us, how much longer are we going to walk with one foot in the world and one foot in His kingdom? As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And if you call streams your house, you're going to serve God too, whether you like it or not. That you take up with the Father. We are responsible to not only to be called sons and daughters, we are to be empowered to walk after the Spirit through baptism. What is the reality of your water baptism? What is the reality of your Holy Spirit baptism? Was it just an engendering thing to your heart and an experience that you want? Or was it part of understanding that this is an equipping agent for you to become rulers of this planet with the Lord Jesus Christ? We are to manifest 24/7 His kingdom. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ, the members individually. You are the body of Christ. And God has appointed these first in the church, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, that gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Do you understand what he's declaring here? Because if you understand what he's declaring, then you understand what he's building. He is not building a run-of-mill church. He is building an apostolic end-time church that will wait for him and greet him and keep herself holy and pure for him. He is building a people who are ruling, fivefold ministers, kings, priests, of which you are. That's what he says. You are the body. And he's not going to take any excuses anymore. Thayer's Greek Lexicon defines ruler as to be lord, to rule, to have dominion over things and forces, to exercise influence, authority upon, to have power over. Isn't that the kingdom mandate out of Genesis 1:28? Do you know what Genesis 1:28 says? If you don't, I encourage you strongly to go and see what it says. Because we were originally created to rule this planet. You have been given the right and a responsibility before God to lay down your life to rule and reign in love over this planet. God has told us to take the land or to invade. God has said to fight spiritual wickedness or to influence. God has called us to maintain dominion or rulership over everything on this earth, seen and unseen. That is His mandate, and it has not changed. Why did Jesus come to this planet? Yeah, to seek and save that which was lost. But He was the beginning of the invasion that was taking place. We call Him warrior. And we act like we have no responsibility in this. Jesus said to occupy, to aggressively march into another's territory with spiritual power for the purpose of conquest and occupation. We are enlisted with countless millions of other disciples worldwide to do just this thing. Not our own. There are two major camps in Christendom today. Of which I believe in one of them. The first camp believes on having a rapture mindset. This rapture mindset says the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and so what we will do is we will protect what we have, and when Jesus comes back, everything will be great. It's a glorious day. We'll be raptured out of here, and Jesus will straighten this mess up. Is that your theology? It's not mine. It's not Jesus's. The mindset I believe on is a kingdom dominion mindset. I am a king. Do you think as a king? Or for you ladies, a queen. You have to renew your mind. You have to stop putting excuses and obstacles in your way and learn to drive through them. You have to become the overcomer. If you look at Revelations 1 through 3, it talks about the overcomer. That is you. Nothing is designed to stop you unless Satan can get into your head and keep you from it. We have met resistance, church. We have met opposition. We have met obstacles. We have met everything that comes down the pike, and we are overcoming them. Amen. That will not stop us. The second worldview is this dominion worldview. This worldview takes on spiritual warfare. But in doing so, there is another principle that we need to enlist. Principle number 4, which is James 4:7. Who can tell me what that is? Nick, you know. There's three. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Absolutely. Why are things happening in your life? Because you're not submitted to God. And so what happens is, whether you realize it or not, you have a rapture-only mindset. And this mindset will get you in trouble because the enemy is here to rob, to steal, and to kill you and take everything from you so that your reward when you go to heaven, you will have no reward. What you will have is only salvation. And I'm here to tell you, your reward is great in heaven, but you've got to fight for it here. There's no escaping this warfare. No escape. You're either fighting or you're not. The only thing Satan respects, he doesn't respect you. He doesn't care about you. He wants to kill you. And the only thing he respects is the power and authority that Jesus has delegated to you. What is power and authority? Let's take that principle. Power. The ability to wage war. Authority. The right to use it. Who did he give it to? So what are you doing with it? Oh, I'm just biding my time. I hate to break it to you, but I've tried to tell you what the Lord has said to me, that this infantileness is going to stop. He is about to build an apostolic church in this town like never before. This church is going to be a powerhouse because of you allowing Him to work through you in love. You must be submitted to God first. Then you can resist the enemy. And that resistance is fighting. You've heard this stuff about, you know, the word resist means to be like in a wrestling match. I would like to say it's in a wrestling match that he's lost. We just stand on the mat and he falls down. We just put our hand on him, pinned. That's really the reality of what it is. He has been defeated. But we act like we're the victimizers instead of the victors. Jesus Christ won the war. He has given us His victory. And yet, that's not our reality. We're told to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. And we prance around and we say, I've got the helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. My feet are shod with the gospel of peace and I have the sword of the Spirit. And we dress it up like we're in some sort of Christian costume. Don't we? I hate to break it to you, but the armor was given to protect you so that you can fight. Are we fighting? I know my shield of faith is taking a lot of hits lately. Can you find your shield? What's your prayer life look like? Do you pray for me consistently or when it strikes the, we'll pray for pastor, you know, these things. We are going to have an apostolic intercessory prayer team in which the church is involved. Not some of the church is involved. Because only when the church engages the enemy will we begin to see God move. So if that comes in context with what God's been saying to you, and some of you already know that God's been speaking that to your hearts, I'm here to confirm that. For those of you who say, not for me, go to Safe Church. I'm telling you right now, go to Safe Church. So the enemy can beat up on you and steal from you and take from you, but life will be fine. Because when Jesus comes, everything will be great. And after all, I'm feeling so good.
I just gotta love Sean so much, buddy. Yeah. You know I love you, man.
When I don't pray for him, I'm not there for him. I'm missing in action. You see, if you pay attention and heard what God has said through His servants today, I'm only confirming prophetically what He's saying to His church. If you're tired of getting your teeth kicked in, as I've, you know, I must have super great teeth because I've been taking shots in the head, in the belly, in the back. I mean, and like I said, I don't know how much more I can take. I need the church to arise as much as Jesus Christ needs the church to arise. Spiritual warfare includes conquest, occupation, manifesting the kingdom of God. It includes this. It is not some special entity that happens. We're closing in, God. Guys, I want to encourage you that where you're at right now, God sees, He's not angry, but He wants you to start walking. This is not the time to rest. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to be angry, like I was angry. Anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. Is God important to you? I believe He is. If He's that important to you, then you would understand why it's our responsibility to protect this ministry. It's not just my responsibility, it's yours too. And I've been carrying the weight, and some of the leaders have been starting to take that off of me. That doesn't mean my load gets lighter, it means it gets heavier. The burden of God has put upon my heart is to see you guys accelerate in everything that you do. To drive back the darkness. That you would stand up for righteousness and holiness and speak against evil. That no matter what the enemy throws against you, you would say, God, I'll be first. This is not my ministry. This is your ministry in Jesus Christ. If you set your priorities above the kingdom, Jesus gave us a warning. He said, count the cost and consider if you're worthy of His kingdom. I didn't say that, He did. I say to the enemy, they're not only worthy, they own it. This is your Father's kingdom that He's given to you. It's time now for us to not only occupy this, but to go out and get them. The days are short, guys. The warfare is being ratcheted up. I know that some of your prayer lives are in the toilet, but you know what? Don't hit the flush button. Pull your prayer life out of that toilet and get it washed in the Word. Let the Holy Spirit freshly anoint your prayer life and really seek Him. Find Him with your whole heart. God has so much for us. He wants your families to come into a relationship like never before. His heart is for them. But He's going to be watching you and seeing how you prioritize the kingdom. I'm not telling you you need to change. You let Him tell you to change. I'm just telling you what He wants. I'm trying to declare His will for streams. And if you're with me, stand up. If you're not with me, that's okay. You know, I'm not asking anything more of you than God asks of you. And it's a request. But if you submit yourself to God, know this. We're going to meet resistance. We're in it.
but he'll flee. In Jesus' name. Father, we just come before you, Lord God. We know the days are dark, God, and we know we've faced every obstacle. And the enemy is throwing all kinds of things at us, God. He's trying to confuse us. He's trying to lie to us. He's trying to make his schemes like it's the reality, God, and it's not worth fighting for your kingdom, God. But Lord, you are worth it. You are the highest prize. And we set our focus on you, God. I repent to you, Lord. Today was not a good day for me. But you're good for me, God. I'm submitted to you, Lord. I want what you want. I desire what you desire, God. And I pray that it would be the people's heart, God, that we would say with me, I want what you want, God.
I desire what you want,
God. And use me the way you want to use me. In Jesus' name. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. That the work is almost done. And what you're setting up for us, God, is a powerful church. That you, God, would take residence and have preeminence above all things, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.